at the age of 8 to 14. In the front line, we fight with the enemy. At the orders I was, I got no choice but to fight in the endless war.
In recent weeks, hundreds of traumatized child soldiers who were forced to fight in the conflict zones in the east of the DR Congo have returned to their homes. The youngsters were kidnapped by rebels and used as fighters, labourers, porters and sex slaves, and were often forced to commit atrocities by their captors, after being given drugs to overcome their inhibitions about killing and raping. Since 2004, more than 30,000 Congolese children across the country have been demobilised and reintegrated into society, with assistance from UNICEF and non-government organisations. However, it is estimated that around 3,500 children are still with armed groups in the Congo. Martin Mande is a Congolese Catholic who helped child soldiers from his country's conflict reintegrate into society. In 2000, he was arrested, thrown into prison and tortured after defending the rights of child soldiers and speaking out against the practice of using children in this way. After enduring appalling conditions in prison, he was eventually released thanks to the intervention of the International Red Cross and fled his homeland for South Africa, where he now lives. As a refugee in Pretoria, he decided to use his background in pedagogy and sociology to tackle the issues of conflict among young people. He joined a youth movement and now uses a peace-building manual drawn up by Caritas Internationalis to teach children how to live and grow together in harmony. He began by telling me about the difficulties involved with trying to rehabilitate former child soldiers.
They in fact create fear in the community, and the community was not willing really to welcome them. That with the history of Congo, being a soldier, which means you become a criminal, anytime you can kill, you can rape, you can do whatever is not acceptable in society. So that brings, you know, a spirit of loneliness between the child soldier and the community.
And how young were some of these former child soldiers when they were forced to become soldiers that you had to deal with?
The youngest one in my group was 12 years old.
How many of them were forced to take drugs to help them cope with the horrors of what they were doing as soldiers and what they were seeing?
That was, in fact, the first priority of them, because they think that through drugs, when you take drugs, you'll become powerful, you'll get focused on what you are doing, you know, drugs is helping you to see everyone which you want, even in night, in darkness, you know, whatever you'll pass, that drugs is helping you. Drugs is removing you from fear.
And what percentage of these kids were able to recover and take up a normal life again?
I can say 30% of my kids that was been working with them, they went through the process of being recovered and going to society. But I couldn't get enough time of making follow-up with them, because myself as well, I become target from my government and from the opposition, the rebel party.
Okay, I wanted to go on, in fact, and talk to you about your own experience now. I gather that you were harassed and tortured after defending these child soldiers and ended up in prison. Can you tell us more about how this happened?
Yeah, you know, to work really for human rights, to defend the human rights in a country such mine, where I'm coming, like Congo, where democracy has not been expressed, is quite hectic. You become a threat to them. They see that you don't like what they are doing. And, you know, one way is just to make you disappear from the process. And in 2000, I was arrested by the government soldiers, and they put me in a prison. And I stay, of course, in a prison from September 2000. I couldn't get any visit. And, of course, the motive, I couldn't been given a proper motive of being arrested. I stay in the prison from 2000 until 2002. When now the intervention of Red Cross is us from then, which was in January 2002 when I got out of the prison.
Can you tell us, were you tortured at any time or mistreated whilst you were in prison?
Yeah, my life in prison, it was really a hard time, because I even lost two of my friends, which we have been arrested together. And we have been tortured any time. We just say, you guys, if you want to get out of the prison, you should stop working, what kind of work you are doing. And whatever you are doing, you are not supposed to give any information or doing whatever, make you accept by force. You'll be beaten morning, you'll be beaten at lunchtime, you'll be beaten before you sleep.
So they did actually beat you, you are saying?
Yes, we've been beaten, beaten until to the point of you feel better for me to die, you know, than to live again. You'll be beaten, you are not going to get food. If you look at my mouth, I don't have two of my teeth. I lost two of my teeth inside the prison because of being tortured.
How did you manage then to get out of prison in the end? You said through the intervention of the International Red Cross?
Yes, it was a committee, International Committee of Red Cross, which trying to help us on that so that we can get out.
And what was the food like and the general hygienic conditions inside the prison?
You know, there is no hygienic condition in a prison in Congo, because the same prison is your toilet and is where you'll sleep. You don't have a mattress, you don't have a covering, no blanket, or somewhere you can put your head. So you are sleeping at the floor. And when it's hot, which means it to be hot inside. When it's cold, which means to be cold inside. Really, hygienic situation is really bad, bad, bad.
And the food?
Food, you know, sometimes you get food and sometimes you don't get food. And that food, the way it's been cooked, they boil it like 2 or 3 minutes and then they remove it and they give it to you like that. You know, you don't get any proper food in prison. And that one, maybe you'll get it once a day on sometimes. Maybe once in 3 days.
So you must have been very thin when you came out.
Yeah, I was really thin. It could be unbelievable because you could even see the bone in my body. You could see the bone and start to count them. And every place I was wounded in all my body, you know, very wounded.
But despite this terrible experience, you have managed to forgive those who did that and move on and try to help others.
You know, through the hardship as well, you know, is a time where as a, you can learn as well what you can do to make maybe a change in the society. We've grown up in a kind of violence. We are surrounded by all kind of conflicts in life. So I said I should make something for the change of the society as well. What can I play as a role? I say, okay, talk about peace in the mind of young people.
How much did your faith help you whilst you were in prison enduring this terrible situation?
You know, I reached to the point where I thought maybe God doesn't exist. But through my teaching, through my what in all situation that God is there and God will always give me justice one day. And I stick on that because I remember when I was young, you know, I was being told by a certain of my spiritual priest who was called by name of Father George Defu, told me one day in all situation you are, I think you need to stick on God, especially if you know, if you are just, you are innocent before everything, God will be always there to help you. So through that, you know, I was always meditating and I know one day God will give me justice because what I was doing, it was not a crime, it was not, I didn't kill or I didn't do any bad. So why can I be in this kind of situation? But through that reflection, I was just know that one day I'll be out of this and maybe I will do something which is positive.
I was speaking to Martin Mandé, a Congolese expert on rehabilitating former child soldiers.